Good morning, Seattle. It's October 23rd, 2019. My name is Sophie Gonstead, and you're listening to KXSU News, Seattle University's student-run newscast, only on Seattle University's student-run radio station, KXSU. We have a great show for you today, a special show because it's a new school year, a new news staff, and all new content. First up is Sophie Bjorkston with her brand new show titled Regardless.
Hello everyone, my name is Sophie Bjorkston and you are listening to Regardless. Controversy. It's why we're here, a bi-monthly, bipartisan biopsy of things you might have strong opinions on. Abortion. Now, is abortion controversial? Should this even be a topic coverable here on Regardless? A lot of people might be inclined to say yes, but let me ask, who is making this issue controversial? According to some Pew researchers, 61% of Americans support legal abortions for all or most cases, and the other 39 aren't vehemently opposed. 7 in 10 adults say they do not want to see Roe v. Wade completely overturned. Even Catholics, 56% feel abortions should be legal in most or all cases. For a divisive majority rules kind of republic, these aren't controversial statistics. So, is abortion controversial among your average American? I surmise that controversial in this case might mean politically charged, which runs the risk of undermining American voters. When a candidate sees a pro-life endorsement opportunity, they might jump on this and say a person's a person, no matter how small, or at 12 weeks, babies have toes. But who are they speaking on the behalf of? Their voters or their donors? Now, no political candidate doesn't accept money. Regardless of what they're trying to accomplish for you, they're utilizing your votes, your passions, and most of all, your money, to be reelected. This is a hardly new and not inherently cynical point of view. If your favorite congresswoman passes an education bill that you've been pining for, and you use your votes, your passion, and your money to achieve this, then you did your duty as a Democratic lobbyist, and she as a representative in a republic. However, that in no way diminishes her goal, re-election. This model makes a lot of sense. However, these are ideal conditions. Citizens who care deeply about an issue, have the means to vote, campaign, lobby, fundraise, and protest, are not so readily found. Just as politicians who cater and listen to their constituents and accept lobbied money proportional to voters' concerns are also not so copious. Pro-life PACs do make contributions to congressmen and women, but since 2010, there has been a surge in outside or soft contributions. Soft contributions being unregulated donations for general party support, which can create a gray area for how it can be used. This past year, soft contributions made up 1.3 million of the total 2.5 million contributed. This is more than both PACs and individual donations combined. So who is this generous donor? And have they taken to speaking to Congress with their checkbooks because they aren't in the majority? That's not such a simple question. 11 states, Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, Ohio, and Tennessee, have all passed abortion restrictions. Most banning abortions, lest the woman's life or physical health is severely endangered in cases of rape or incest, or if the fetus has a lethal genetic anomaly, which makes abortion illegal in most cases. Now, 11 states is quite significant. Could the theory of disproportionate funding and undemocratic methods really hold up under 11 states? That would be a serious and widespread misrepresentation by Congress. It just doesn't seem likely that this much legislation could be passed without the public's endorsement. That or people are not engaged in this so-called abortion controversy and have not voted, protested, lobbied, fundraised, or donated to have their views represented. This brings me to my most recent local news on the subject, Planned Parenthood at Seattle University. President Sundberg made the decision last week to take a link to Planned Parenthood down from the list of health resources on the Advising Center's website due to a letter he received from the Students for Life of America. Although the act of taking down this link might seem minor, the implications have been severe. Protesters have held marches and are calling for Thunberg's resignation if he is unwilling to reinstate the link. The Spectator reports that Students for Life argued that Planned Parenthood has no place on a Christian campus, and Thunberg agrees. This stance is the official teaching of the Catholic Church, which is fair considering Pope Francis has said abortion is never the answer. While there's no clash in Thunberg's decision and the official statements, there is a disconnect between Thunberg's perceived student body and the reality, which has little to do with who is Catholic or not. Students at SU are aware that this is a Jesuit school, but the reason this link debacle is so heartbreaking to many students isn't that Thunberg is taking away Planned Parenthood, which he's not. It's that he is systematically eliminating information from students, which, in all the ways of changing people's mind, is the most manipulative and least educator-like. The purpose of this podcast isn't really to educate you on the facts of the newest or most volatile controversy, but to ask you why is it controversial? Oftentimes, these sensitive issues are rooted in something profound, which makes it very hard to discuss. But it's only me on here, and I'd hardly say this is a discussion, more of a one-sided, one-woman show. So if you have any comments, email me at bjorkstensof@seattleu.edu. Some food for thought on the subject. A Defense of Abortion by Judith Jarvis Thompson is an essay that I highly recommend if you've ever wondered what it would be like for you yourself to be faced with a prospect abortion. I used quite a few resources to write this podcast: the Seattle Times, the Spectator SU News, the Pew Research Forum, an article by Gordon Scott for Investopedia, CNN, and Open Secrets, a center for responsive politics. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Sophie Bjorkstein, and I hope you've enjoyed, regardless.
That was Sophie Bjorkstein with Regardless. Up next, we have Riri's Corner, a new show from Erica and Rita.
Hey, y'all.
Hey.
It's Erica.
And it's Rita.
How are y'all doing today? Okay, yeah. Cool. You can't really say anything. But this is our first show. We don't really know what we're doing.
But you know what? That's the fun of it. We're just going to make this a little introductory show talking about who we are and, like, I don't know, just little tidbits about
the people who we are today, you know? Just some POC femmes over here.
Hell yeah.
We love it. It's okay. We're like... We have to go by regulation, right? And hell is okay.
Okay.
You know, maybe we can still, like, bleep it out if you want. But just, like, more intense words aren't preferred.
Right.
Or allowed.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, Erica, right? Yeah. She, her. And... I'm just living life on the West Coast, originally from the East Coast, the Southeast, which people just like to be like, oh, you're from the South. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm from Charleston, South Carolina, which is on a beach. Like, I went to school on an island. Yeah. Like, I'm still a part of the coast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like living life here now in Seattle, and so different, but also like not really. I have two older sisters who keep me accountable and a younger brother who makes me feel like an older sister, which makes sense because it's true.
Yeah.
Facts.
Validate you.
Thank you. Yeah, what about you, Rita?
Yeah, so I'm originally from San Jose, California, the Bay Area. And well, specifically Campbell, California. It's like a smaller city, but I just say San Jose because no one knows where Campbell is. We're really known for our orchards. Well, what used to be orchards.
Like apple?
Yeah. And peaches and stuff.
Ooh, peaches.
Yeah. But now it's like all gone. And Yeah, so I come from the Bay Area. I have a little sister. We're 10 years apart.
That's wild. I cannot get over that.
Right? Yeah, that's it's totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like when she's 20, I'm gonna be 30.
Like what?
I don't know, like, why that.
That doesn't even seem like sisterhood anymore.
Right? Right? It's just like, I don't know. It's different, but I love her to death. I have two parents.
Wow.
And, yeah. And I am now. Well, we're both now in Seattle. Just.
Yeah, the two of us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not like you and your sister.
Right. Erica, yeah. Yes. Clarification.
Hey, we gotta
stay. We go to Seattle, you. Wait, they know that, right?
Yes.
Okay. They know.
You, the audience, know now.
Oh, yeah, I use she, they pronouns. I don't have a preference. And I'm just, you know, getting through fall quarter.
Getting through fall quarter. There's a lot of stuff going on right now.
Yeah, there really is. Junior year is
a big year.
A big year.
I feel like college and high school are similar.
Yeah. Yes. I know where you're
The first 2 years, you're just like getting things together.
Mm-hmm.
Like freshman year, very new. Mm-hmm. We all know. Sophomore year, it's like, okay, you got stuff down. Like, you're doing more things.
Right.
And you definitely feel like, oh, like, I know what's going on.
Right.
And then junior year.
Junior year is like.
It's like, you don't know as many people, but you still are, like, look up to as, like, as if you do know a lot of people.
And
it's like,
as if you know what you're doing, but you really don't.
Yeah. And things get harder.
And things.
But I think the difference between high school and college is, like, academically, I don't feel like things are, like, harder.
Uh-huh.
It's just, like, there's much more that I have to worry about that makes life harder.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good segue into our, like, topic.
For this week.
Yeah, for this week. And that is basically a good old, like, self-reflection on what we wish we
yes, Rita. Yeah. Tell me, what is
it?
I got you. What we wish we knew a year ago. And you know, I'm open to us going past a year ago.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know,
even like back to high school, like I wouldn't have imagined my life like today,
for real. And I think that, like, that's what I really like about our show too, even though we haven't even gotten to it, is just like, we're a space of reflection.
Yes.
A space of intersectional reflection.
Yes. From multiple perspectives based on our identities.
And the fact that we're both going to be social workers.
Yeah. We're both social work majors.
And we'll have to think about this all the literal time.
Yes. So this is great practice. Okay. So.
After that deep breath, that deep cleansing breath, I'm still trying to think.
Okay.
Do you have anything?
I mean, I have, like, the obvious, which I feel like could relate to a lot of people, and that is just the fact that, like, I wish I knew how. Like, this sounds so, like,
it's cliche, okay, just do it. Just say it.
It just, like, time just goes by so fast, and, like, I wish I knew that, like, I just wish that I knew what to do with my time. I wish I knew, like, what to exert my energy on, because, like, right now, it's so easy to just get stressed out and, like, just, like, focus on the things that, you know, you're bound to think about, like, your future and your, I don't know, like, your career and everything, and, like, grad school, like, what you want to actually do in social work and all of that. And I wish that I knew that last year, or, like, even like beyond past last year, because then I would take more advantage of like, not the fun, because like you always, I mean, I guess I always have, like tend to think about this, but like last year I would, like I would be stressing out and stuff, mm-hmm. and I'm still stressing out. So like nothing has changed, and I wish, and I didn't have to stress out last year. Like I really didn't. Like it was so like it was just self-induced, and like I wish I had enjoyed more of last year.
Yeah. And like it makes me wonder like how much of this is coming out of like our environment, like the fact that like we live in a neoliberal capitalist like place.
Yes.
And how like we are like made to think, oh, like our production.
Oh,
and
my God.
The stress is equal to like our success. Mm-hmm. Like the fact that we're stressed out means that we're doing something, which means that like it's profitable, which means that we can like keep living in the system that we're in.
But stress ain't good. Like it's not good. Like why are we normalizing it?
Mm-hmm. Because like, we are always like, oh, like a little bit of stress, so like it keeps you motivated. It keeps you okay. And it's like, but how much of that is actually true? Like I know we have, like there is like stress produced from different things that is actually like, oh, that is normal.
Yeah.
But then I think like what you just said, like we normalize like high levels of stress way too much. And it's just wild.
And it's just, and when I'm not stressed, I'm like, I'm not doing enough. That's what I think. And I'm like, no, it's just that you're relaxing or you're like not, like you don't have to always keep doing things.
No, for real. I think what I wish I knew a year ago is like how much life I can get from stepping away from the people who don't give me life. I guess you know what I mean. It's just like who is actually like here for
down
me?
Down for you.
Yeah.
You
know? And like how do I take steps away from them without feeling like, oh, like I'm losing someone in my life and like I'm losing that support, even if they weren't that supportive.
Yes.
It's just like, okay, this is one less person that like I can't get validation from, of like, oh, they enjoy my presence. But it's like, other people can enjoy my presence and also
like,
be there
you,
for
like,
me. Yeah.
Like, you, like, exerting that energy on one person, or, like, I mean, like, multiple, just, like, people that you thought, you know, were down for you, and just, like, ended up just being, like, you know,
not
like,
okay.
Your time is done with them, like, you know, that, because that's just what life is, like, unfortunately, like, some, like, there's an expiration date on their, on certain people.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Okay, a little shift in our conversation right now, because Rita and I had to go through
finding a room to do this podcast in, because someone had reserved the room that we were in, so we had to find a new one. So here we are, and we
the
don't
library,
know where,
you know, study rooms are.
People are going.
There's a high demand.
There's a high demand. There really is. So now we're like in an 8-person like conference room.
For the two
I
of
feel
us.
Like we're like, this is not our space. But anyways,
we'll take up space.
We'll take up space because we deserve to.
Yes.
We deserve to take up space. Mm-hmm. Okay. But we also don't know where we left off.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll just keep going.
We're just going to keep going, yeah.
Forget the past.
Forget the past. Right.
Live in the present.
Live in the present. Prepare for the future.
Wow. Such great words. Such great words.
Anyways. Yeah. So,
you know, Rita, I've been wanting people to know about your Hulu story.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And I think you should let the people know.
So, I have Hulu.
I
am a Hulu user. Because it's, you know, Spotify, the whole discount.
Yeah, we love the student discount.
And honestly, like, Hulu, unpopular opinion, I use Hulu, or I like Hulu more than Netflix sometimes.
Wow, okay.
Only because, like, I feel like Hulu has more, like, reality TV shows.
Yes.
So I, like, and that's, like, my,
I love,
like,
reality.
My thing.
Mm-hmm. I love reality. Yeah. I live reality.
And then, and I recently got an email saying that, like, oh, someone's using your account, and or someone, like, logged into your account on a different device. And I was like,
who?
So they, like, traced it back to this some person in China.
What?
Yeah. And I was like, I wasn't mad. Like, I wasn't mad. Like, it was, you know, like, all, I don't have personal information there. Like, I don't really, well, I mean, like, they could, I don't know. They could probably
get the, like,
do
last,
something.
Oh, like your card, potentially, actually.
Potentially, yeah.
Oh. Now that I'm thinking about it.
Now
I'm
that
like,
I think
oh.
about it, they probably, like, would have access to my card, or they could, like, do a subscription that, like, or, like, renew
it's
something.
It's more expensive, yeah.
Right. But, like, if they have access to it, like, they don't really, like, they're there for the shows, hopefully.
Yeah, right.
And I'm, like, not really mad at that, you know? I just, like, was caught off guard.
Yeah, it's like, you just needed, like,
you just needed
said
to
yes.
ask me.
Yeah.
Right?
I just wanted to feel like I had a choice.
Yeah, because, like, I don't know, like, I'm down. Like, it's when people let you use your Netflix. Like, that's the same thing.
Right.
I just, like, really wish that they weren't so far away and that they, like, could ask for permission first, you know?
You know what? Like, I actually, like, I've had friends who are very, like, protective of their Netflix accounts.
I mean, I,
like, and I get it, but it would be, like, their family account.
Oh.
And I'm like, what are you really losing here?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just trying to watch a show that you wanted me to watch.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So why are you going to be all, like, protective and secretive about your password? I'm like,
yeah.
Girl, come on now. You ain't even spending money on it.
I know.
That was Riri's Corner with Erica and Rita. If you enjoyed what you just heard, tune into Erica's radio show every Monday at 5 p.m. Next up is our very own Jonathan Anderson with last week's sports coverage.
On this week's segment, we will talk a little bit about the Seahawks. In my opinion, it was Russell Wilson who won the game. He was phenomenal. He threw for 2 passing touchdowns and ran for 1 touchdown. He had a QBR of 118. And he was just able to do it all. He was able to command the offense at a mastery level, and even one drive, his radio in the helmet went off, so he was able to make up all the plays himself and call the plays without any of the help of the coaches. That is Pro Bowl Hall of Fame level quarterbacking right there. I was happy to see that. On the other side of the ball, the defense was a little less great. It was shaky at times, but it benefited from, actually I think it was 4 turnovers from the Cleveland offense. Baker Mayfield did not look sharp at all as he threw 3 pretty inexcusable picks, and we also benefited from 1 fumble from the running back. The game overall did not start in the Seahawks' favor. We ended up trailing by 15 points at one point, 21-6. But as the Seahawks been known to do, we made the comeback. And that comeback started around halftime, and it just continued throughout the rest of the game. Russell Wilson is playing like an MVP. Let's be honest, he has 17 touchdowns to no interceptions. He's second in the league in QBR with a QBR of 80. And somehow, Dak Prescott of the Dallas Cowboys has a higher QBR of 82. I don't really know how that's possible, because he seems to be not as playing as well as Russell Wilson. But that's either neither here or there, as I like Russell Wilson to pretty much any other quarterback in the entire league. And I would be remiss to not point out the fact that our running back, Chris Carson, once again was dominant. He had a career high of 124 yards and one touchdown. He is on pace for well over 1,000 yards on the season. His second straight 1,000-yard season, which is pretty respectable if you're a starting quarterback, a starting running back in the NFL. And one of the things going into the season that I was a little bit worried about is, do we have enough proven receivers on the outside? Because other than Tyler Lockett, none had really played before. I am not quite as worried about that now because everyone seems to be stepping up. Even Jerron Brown, who has struggled for most of the beginning of the season. Tyler Lockett, as we know, is a Pro Bowl caliber running back. He seems to make all the plays necessary, and he seems to have a good rapport with Russell Wilson. But other than him, DK Metcalf is just stepping up big. He had a couple big catches towards the end of the game that was really crucial in sealing the victory for the Seahawks. And overall, on the season, he has about 12 receptions and 2 touchdowns, which is not great, but for a starting rookie receiver, it's pretty good because being a receiver is widely regarded as being a tough transition position from the college ranks to the NFL ranks. So, by all means, he's doing a great job. Unfortunately, we did lose one of the better tight ends in the league with Will Disley going down for the season with what I'm guessing as being a torn Achilles heel. And watching the injury live, it did not seem like a bad injury, as he just seemed to stumble and then he just simply couldn't get up. The unfortunate part about it is that he missed the majority of the season last year with a torn patella tendon. So he has had 2 promising starts to the season in his 2 years in the NFL, but they've unfortunately been cut short with injuries. And kind of freak injuries at that. Neither injury's really been lingering. It's just an unfortunate situation, and obviously we hope the best recovery for him. But with that being said, other people have to step up in his absence. The former Seahawk, Luke Wilson, was re-signed by the Seahawks a couple weeks ago, and Ed Dixon, another tight end, is coming off injured reserve in 2 weeks, so there should be more help coming to that position. Now let's kind of talk about longevity in the season, because even though we are 5-1 and looking great for our playoff hopes, I'm starting to get concerned that it's not as sustainable as we might hope, because Russell Wilson, in my opinion, is doing everything. Our defense is not like it once was, as our secondary once again had a rough game in Cleveland, and our defensive line seems unable to get any pressure on the quarterback, no matter the offensive line they go up against. Now, this might be aided by the fact that one of our better defensive players just came back from a 6-game suspension to start the 2019 season. Jerron Brown is a defensive tackle who had 10.5 sacks last season for the Seahawks. So I am curious to see what kind of shape he's in. Or let me rephrase that, what kind of football shape he's in and what kind of impact he will make the first couple of weeks of the season. This upcoming weekend, the Seahawks play the Baltimore Ravens.
That was Jonathan with the sports. For more sports news like this, tune into Jonathan's radio show every Friday at 7 p.m. Our last segment of today's show is from Amber, Sedona, and Abby with everything that you need to know to prepare for the upcoming Halloween season.
Morning, Seattle.
I'm Sedona.
I'm Amber.
And my name is Abby.
And today we're talking about
Halloween.
All things spooky. I'm so excited. Oh my god. Like, literally, Halloween is the best time of year because you get to, like, dress up like a total weirdo and no one can judge you for it. Like, it's like being five and playing dress up, but it's normalized. So we're going to talk about some funny stories, trick-or-treating, Halloween parties, what we're going to be for Halloween, our favorite treats. So, you know, get buckled up. Get
secret
ready for the ride. The spooky
recipes.
Trains. I wish that was
the
a thing.
The spooky train.
Did you guys, okay, this is such a tangent, but like, do you remember the Santa train? Was that ever a thing in your area?
The Santa train.
Yes. If you grew up in the Snoqualmie area, we had this thing called the Santa train, where it was, they decked out the train, like the Snoqualmie train area, in like Christmas stuff, and you get on it and Santa would be there. It was like, woohoo, the Santa train. Like, they should have the spooky train and decorate it in like Halloween stuff.
Winterhaven.
Winterhaven
oh
was like
my
the
goodness.
Christmas. There was a neighborhood in, we, Abby and I both spent growing up in Tucson, and we had this neighborhood called Winterhaven, and every year they like went all out with lights, like literally hundreds and thousands of dollars spent on lights for
so
each
many
house.
Lights it's
it was
like
amazing.
New York City,
and it was free to go Tucson. To you could like donate to like the food pantry, but it was
yeah.
free, so it was so cool. You could just like go every night and to like look at the lights, and there were so many streets. It was, it's amazing.
So what are you guys being for Halloween? What's the plan? Because that's like the important question here.
So I have never been a vampire.
I think you would be a great Bratz doll.
I
think
I
that's
agree.
A good Halloween costume.
Yasmin,
for you.
Yasmin? Yasmin or Yasmin?
I like
that's
Chloe.
I only
yeah.
have one.
Chloe's my favorite, but that's because I'm
I only
blonde
got the
and
one
I like
with
wands.
The hair
I know, I like Chloe.
Dolls.
I love
they
Chloe.
Are fashion icons.
I wanted Legos.
I wish I had the wardrobe of a Bratz doll.
Yeah.
That's true.
My life would be.
We all do.
Yeah.
That is a good Halloween costume. Just like kind of like overline your lips and you're good to go.
Yeah.
I know for a fact that I'm going to be a Ravenclaw student because I went to Spirit Halloween, haha, free promo for them, and found a Ravenclaw robe. If anyone else out here is a Harry Potter nerd who is not a Slytherin or Gryffindor, I'm a Ravenclaw and I never see Ravenclaw merch. So I saw this robe. It was good quality. I'm like, yes, I am buying this. So now I'm going to be a Ravenclaw on the day of Halloween. I don't know what else I'm doing for my other days. Like, I just need to figure that out. But yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to be a Slytherin student. Amber sent me the pictures of the Ravenclaw robe, and I was like, this is something I can get on board. So I went and I bought the Slytherin one, and then my lovely, beautiful, awesome, amazing coworkers knew I wanted it, but didn't know that I had purchased it yet, and they bought it and sent it to me. So now I have two, and I don't know what to do with them.
Anyone wants a Slytherin
and they're expensive, so if anyone wants a Slytherin robe, hit me up.
Speaking of Bratz dolls, have you guys seen the Bratz movie?
No,
I actually never. I love the Barbie movies, but I never watched the Bratz movies because my mom also thought that Bratz were Bratz.
Yeah,
like, she thought it was
Bratz.
A bad influence.
Yeah.
So I never watched the Bratz movies as a kid.
Oh.
So, no.
Well, that just, like, totally reminded me. I'm sorry, sidetrack. That's, like, my favorite movie ever.
I need to watch them. You should
yeah.
watch them.
Yeah.
Movie
I
night.
Watched one
yeah.
Barbie movie, and I thought it was, like, fine. But I also was, like, a grown adult when I watched it, and I never played with Barbies as a kid, so I was like, mm. The one where they, like, went to school. And it wasn't. It was like,
wait, okay, well, that sounds sus. No, you have to watch from the older ones.
Yeah. So notice that kid that names the movie that, like, no one has seen. It's a series of, like, all of these movies.
It was literally just
the one
silence.
No one
like, she's
watched.
Like, the one they went to school.
Yeah,
just like,
yeah we're like.
Crickets. If you could see Abby's face just now.
She was like, I just did it again. Like, people on the air hear me.
Okay, let's talk about Halloween movies. Favorite scary movies? The Conjuring.
Scary movies, but I like
Boo,
the scary
get out of the
movies.
Podcast.
I'm afraid of fake scare things.
I actually
Okay. Like, true crime, I'm fine with, but, like, spooky ghosts, too spooky for me.
I really like scary movies, but also I'm very jumpy. Like, I'm such a spaz, especially after I started listening to murder podcasts. I'm already such a jumpy and paranoid person. Like, recently when I try to watch horror movies, I'm just so, like, tense and anxious. I'm like, why did I enjoy this? I think it's actually, I like them when you're with a group of people. I don't like watching them with, like, one other person who you know couldn't fight off a murder if someone, like, just barged into the house, you know?
I love scary movies.
Yeah, they're good. As for Halloween, I never watched, like, Hocus Pocus.
Have you seen Halloween Town?
You know what? I swear I've seen those movies. Yeah, I've seen the second one.
I've seen, like, they're clips
good.
Of them.
They are good. Yeah, I've seen them.
Especially through the OG Disney Channel
I've
original movies.
I've seen them.
Yeah.
I have.
Those are the... I like the non-scary Halloween movies.
Yeah. Hocus Pocus.
Yeah. I need to watch that, actually.
Oh, yeah, so my fun. Goodness. Hocus Pocus is, like, one of my favorite movies of all time.
We just love
fun. What are your favorite Halloween recipes?
They have Halloween Funfetti. Like, it's Funfetti, but Halloween color. Oh, like, it's orange. You know what Funfetti is, right?
Funfetti cakes.
Duh.
It's so good.
That's fun. We should make that.
Yeah, I feel like we could. I haven't actually made the Halloween Funfetti yet, but it probably just tastes like Funfetti, which is effing amazing. But that is fun. The best.
Funfetti.
It's, like, the best box cake.
Fetty.
And then also you
Fetty Wap?
I was thinking the same thing.
Another really cute thing is, like, I don't even eat cheese, so this is not for me. But, like,
I love cheese.
If you take string cheese and, like, cut it into thirds and then, like, start peeling one ends and then put one of the ends and then put a little pretzel stick in it, it looks like a little witch's broom.
That's so cute.
It's really cute.
I love cheese, but Abby can eat them for all of us.
Oh my gosh, I would love them. I love cheese.
The intimate whispering into the microphone.
I love cheese.
That is what I did.
It's just ASMR. It's just ASMR.
So.
Wait, what were you going to say about your treats? Which treat did you like? Do you remember now?
The really soft cookies that are Halloween.
Oh, the sugar cookies with the frosting that you get at the store. Pillberries?
No.
Oh.
You know the ones. No, I know which ones you're talking about. The sugar cookies with the frosting. I'm talking about the ones that you, like, bake the ghosts.
Yes, that are really tiny. Those are good, too.
Those are good.
Are you talking about the frosted ones or the Pillsbury?
The frosted ones.
Okay. Well, yeah, both of those are, like, crack.
I've been searching.
Crack.
I've looked at QFC every week for the last, like, since it became it's October, so and they have not had them yet. I, like, ask a person, and they're like, yeah, we're still waiting on getting them. I'm like, where are they?
I need it. Well, honestly, those are a lot more Christmassy to me. Like, those are, like, sugar screams Christmas.
They,
like,
never have the Halloween, the Christmas ones. I've never had the Christmas ones. I've only ever had the Halloween ones and the Valentine's Day ones.
Oh, Valentine's Day? Yeah, they're trying to mooch up every
holiday. They have
holiday
it literally.
Here's
every
a cookie.
Holiday.
Bye.
They have one with school bus on them for back to school.
Do you guys want to hear what I used to do? I used to love Halloween so much that I would knock on people's doors in February and March and even April. And I would I would knock around my neighborhood doors and on my neighbors and be like, knock, knock, knock. I was six. Keep this in mind before I get judged. I would knock on doors and be like, trick or treat, and ring on doorbells. And I'd be like, trick or treat. And then, like, my neighbors would open the doors and be like, hi. And I'd be like, trick or treat. And they'd be like, it's April. And I'd be like, okay. And then they'd be like, wait, hold on a second. I got something for you. And then, like, I'm not even kidding. They would always give me something. I would never get denied, ever. I don't think I ever got denied. I got brought a tissue box, Clorox wipes, sometimes candy.
Hey, if you're ever, like, really in a struggle, just go out and, like, get your, like, home supplies from strangers.
Or I would bring people their newspapers that were delivered at the bottom of their driveway. I would walk them up to their door and ring on their doorbell and be like, here's your newspaper. I just thought I would deliver it to you. And they'd be like, thank you. I was a weird kid.
Trick or treat people with kindness.
I pick trick.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
when I was like three, I was a Care Bear for Halloween. I was Cheer Bear, the pink one with the rainbow on it.
I was a clown.
It was cute, but it was like a head-to-toe costume. It was like, you know, the space for the face hole and like a hood with ears on it. And I loved the costume so much that I literally wore it for an entire year. I would come home from school and like daycare or whatever, because I was only three, and I would put on the costume like as my loungewear around the house. And
oh, I would wear it constantly.
I remember in like third grade, I wanted to be a skeleton. And so my dad helped me make. I was like, okay, yeah, cool skeleton costume. I'm gonna use glow in the dark paint. It's gonna be so cool. My dad helps me make like this. It's like a felt bodysuit. We just paint like the entire skeleton, like glow in the dark paint. It looks so stupid on. Like, I don't think there's any pictures of this because I think third grade me literally was like, Mom, no, you have to delete them all. But it was just like a felt bodysuit, like glow in the dark paint, like bones. It was just terrible. And I also had this Cinderella dress that I was like in love with when I was like little, but like actually I would wear that all the time, not even just on Halloween. Like I was like, where's my Cinderella dress? I need it on right now.
As girlies do.
So one of the best things about Halloween obviously is the candy. And I remember when I was a kid, like I always had like a favorite candy every year, and like trading Halloween candy was like the most exciting thing. Like my sister and or, like, my friends and I would get back with our pillowcases full of Halloween candy and we'd just start making piles and be like, okay, what are we sorting out right now? Like it was literally like
I could never do nuts. Like, I can't eat nuts. I'm allergic. So I would always trade them out for other candies. That was the best thing. That's the thing about Halloween that I loved the most. It's like, even because you don't know what candy you're going to get.
I know.
Even if someone gives you candy that you don't like if you're with your, I mean, if you're like a lonely, sad little kid, like that's sad. But like, if you're with your pals, like you can trade. And then that's like a whole nother level of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that. That, you know what that reminds me of? I remember one of the saddest scenes in a movie ever was in Willy Wonka, when they do like the flashback to like Willy Wonka's childhood and his dad's like a dentist and he like makes him like throw his Halloween candy in the fire, and I was always just like, no!
Oh my gosh, I always felt so bad for him. I always loved sour candy.
Yeah, Sour Patch Kids. Warheads! Do you remember Warheads? I haven't had Warheads sour in so long.
Candy. I like Warheads. Fruity.
Those were too sour. Those weren't enjoyable.
I used to suck the sourness off of Sour Patch Kids to the point where my tongue would be raw. Like, I literally, it was, I don't know why I do that to myself.
I hate sour candy.
I love it. Sour Patch watermelons.
I like fruity, like, sweet candy and chocolatey candy, but I'm not, like, I also not, like, a huge chocolate person. Like, I can do chocolate, but, like, only in, like, a certain, like, level. Like, I feel like I have a very short chocolate threshold.
Chocolate.
Because it's super, like, rich and so sweet.
Chocolate threshold.
You can have my chocolate, girl.
I love chocolate.
I love, like, fruit candy. Least like favorite?
Least favorite candy?
Least favorite?
Anything with, I don't like Reese's. Snickers.
Almond Joys? I've never liked Almond Joys.
I love Almond Joys.
No. I can't do Almond Joys because of the nuts, but I love Mounds. I love Mounds. They have this stuff in England. It's called Bounty. It's like an Almond Joy without the almonds, and it also has caramel.
I love eating paper towels.
It's lit.
I have a PSA for you guys before we close out for our podcast. Do not eat open candy, and have a safe Halloween. Thank you so much for tuning in. Spooky, scary skeletons and shivers down your spine. Shrieking skulls will shock your soul and seal your doom tonight. This has been KXSU News, Seattle University's student-run newscast, only on KXSU. Tune in next Wednesday at 9 a.m. for new shows and all new content. As always, I'm Sophie Gonstead, your host, and thank you for listening.